As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Dear radio friend, we continue today in our series on love for the stranger, love for the brethren, and now in this week's love for our children. Godly Christian parenting is a wonderful yet difficult task, and we go to the Word of God for instruction and comfort. Perhaps you were surprised at the choice of today's text. Perhaps you are surprised with the text itself. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalm 103 and verse 13. Do we usually think that way? We provide as fathers. We discipline, we instruct, we command, but show them pity. Fathers show compassion and mercy. Furthermore, our text tells us that our pity for our children is such that it is compared to Jehovah's pity for his people. As a father pitieth his children, notice, so Jehovah pitieth those that fear him. God, the faithful covenant father of his people, is willing to compare himself with us earthly fathers. Then, I say to you, this aspect of pity must be so important, don't you think? It must be so central, and it must be distinctly found in Christian fathers. Do you understand pity? In the world, many false ideas about pity abound, and we need today to learn about biblical pity. Pity is often seen, you know, as some kind of weakness. I'm strong, I'm macho, I'm a father, I must be tough, I must rule, I must lead. Who wants pity? That's for wimps. In fact, my children don't need pity. They're great kids. I don't need to pity them. And if we do pity, we think, well, then we give them whatever they want, and we think we should then neglect discipline in the name of pity. But why should fathers truly pity their children? As a father pities his children, the Word of God says, so Jehovah pities them that fear him. Psalm 103, verse 13. In reality, you understand, of course, that the opposite is true. As the Lord pities us, so we ought to pity our children. Fathers ought to emulate our Heavenly Father. And we learn in the Lord's Prayer to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. And we hope that our children in the home have a wonderful picture of their Heavenly Father, even as they relate to their earthly fathers. And indeed, we earthly fathers are only a very weak picture, for often we fail and falter and fumble. I know that also as a father with my wife, the Lord has blessed us with 8 covenant children. And it's our prayer that our relationship with them would be a reflection of our Heavenly Father's love and compassion to his people. But you see, God's Word deliberately puts it the opposite way, for a mirror effect, so that we may take a good hard look. If a son asks bread, Jesus says in Luke 11, verses 11 through 13 of his father, will the father give him a stone? Of course not. So also, our Heavenly Father graciously gives the Holy Spirit to all those who ask him. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 through 8, the apostle, in fact, says to the saints that he comes not as one who is burdensome, but he comes as a gentle nurse that cherishes his children, being affectionately desirous of them. What a beautiful picture of an earthly father. Fathers are to be gentle with their children, be affectionate, and according to our text today, to pity their children. Oh, mothers too, of course. But why does the psalmist point to the fathers then? I submit to you, first of all, the obvious reason is that fathers are to reflect the Heavenly Father. Secondly, fathers are the head of the house, and they must lead by example. They must lead by godly example, even to the wife and to the children. But thirdly, I challenge fathers out there, because I know that that is true also of myself by nature, that it is so easy for us men to abuse our headship and foolishly act as tyrants towards our wives and then also towards our children, instead of being loving husbands and fathers who show understanding, pity, compassion, and being ready to always give a double dose of encouragement and commendation and showing good concern for the needs of our children. Do we, fathers, pity our children? Do we treat them in the conscious reality that they too, like us, are but mere creatures of the dust? Look at verse 14 of this passage, which gives us the reason why Jehovah pities his children. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God knows that because he framed us and he remembers who we are, but mere dust. And you know, when we look at our children, sometimes we forget that. We forget that they too are weak and sinful, just as we are. Remember, if we are going to reflect to our children their Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father, then we must show them such fatherly pity. They must be able to say in their hearts, as my Father pities me, so God pities all those who fear him. They must not be trembling. Oh, I have done so bad. Just as my earthly father is going to hit me, so God probably will never forgive me. Oh, just as Dad gets angry with me, oh, maybe God will be that way with me. He will never listen to a sinner like me. Listen, beloved people of God, the Word of God calls us to put away such ungodly parenting, which is unworthy of the office of a father. It's striking, you know, that in both Ephesians 6 verse 4 and Colossians 3 verse 21, parallel passages in the New Testament, give to us that same instruction. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but rather, instead of them being provoked to anger and becoming discouraged, we are to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. Now, what is it really to pity our children? What is it really that is called upon us as fathers to reflect pity to our children, just as Jehovah pities us, his people? What is pity? Pity is synonymous to mercy. In the Old Testament, you have the word rachamim, or in the New Testament, helios. They're used interchangeably with mercy. That word pity and that word mercy. In fact, the Hebrew word rachamim is plural for racham, which means the womb or the inner parts. And you will recall that scripture often reads of bowels of mercies or tender mercies. You know why? Because the very root idea of mercy or pity is a deep-seated affection from the innermost being of a person. It's not superficial. It's from the heart. It is from the bowels. It's deep-seated affection. Jehovah, in his love for his people, shows to them such mercy, such pity, which, of course, you understand, is a virtue of his great love in Jesus Christ. So we read Moses singing in Exodus 15 verse 13, Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people that thou hast redeemed. Or Psalm 40 verse 11, prayer of the psalmist, Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Or Psalm 25 verse 6, Remember thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been of old. In mercy, God is kindly affected towards his people. He alleviates them from their misery to the great blessedness of himself. You understand, God is tenderly affected toward himself. Even without us, he is the God of mercy. He is good. He is the fount of all good. And he wills himself as the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be the eternally blessed one. But then now God extends that mercy to us who are in sin, who are in misery, and he alleviates us to himself. That is the wonder of the gospel. Those who fear him, those who know that they are only dust, those who cry out to him, acknowledging that they are sinners and knowing that they are dependents upon God alone, the Almighty God lifts them up in mercy to that state of glorious blessedness that he enjoys even in himself. Jehovah God, in giving up his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, showed to us that highest expression of pity. Truly, he did this as a father. He loved his children. He saw their frailty, and he entered into that even by giving up his only begotten son, so that through this merciful high priest, we become the sons and daughters of the living God. You want to know what is true pity? Behold the Son of God on the cross who died for us. So that in that way, the only way, he would alleviate the pain, the misery, the death that we deserve, so that once and for all, he would alleviate the elect from all the nations of the world and draw them to that blessedness of the Heavenly Father. Fathers, knowing that glorious gospel of grace in Jesus Christ, we must mirror that in our pity for our children. I say, we who are Christian, we who are Reformed, we who understand the unconditional love of God towards us, we of all people should know what it means to show pity, to recognize the misery that we ourselves are in and our children with us, to love them enough that we would be willing to enter into their suffering and to desire their blessedness. It means to feel their pain. It means to be willing to bear in that pain, not necessarily always removing that pain. Remember, sometimes God chastises us, and we must also chastise and discipline our children, as we heard last time when we talked about training our children and narrowing the way, showing them the way so that when they grow, they will not depart from the way of Jehovah. Nevertheless, we must do so in pity, in love, assuring them, praying for them and with them, urging them to look to God, listening to them in their need so that they know that we know and that we understand. Remember, no father can be a good trainer unless he is able to put himself in the place of his child and pity that child. Isn't that true? Isn't that what you want of the preacher? So that when the preacher brings to you God's word, he doesn't just bring some theory, some high-minded doctrine that has no practical consequence, that has no personal application. You would want a preacher who brings the truth of God in love, that he enters sympathetically into the seat of his hearers, so that he would be one who ministers to the flock. Just as no nurse can truly care for the sick unless you can enter into that condition herself, so that when you are in a hospital, you can sense that the nurses and the doctors are not just there for a job, busily going from one object to another, but truly compassionate, truly understanding the pain and the cry, so that they are showing hospitality and love and compassion to those who are under their care. So, a father. Just as no Savior really could save, except he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews 4 verse 15. So fathers, let us learn to pity our children, just as our Heavenly Father has pitied us. So we understand what it means to look at our children, to remember that they are but frail creatures of the dust, to remember that they were conceived and born in sin, to remember oftentimes that in fact they bear our weaknesses and sins, and that they have many, many troubles in life, just as we do, that they go through difficult periods in their life, and that we show to them that as if we have experienced the mercy of our Father, we would take the patience, the time, the understanding, remember where they are at, to listen to their afflictions and concerns, and then to show them pity. Show them that we would encourage them and urge them on and bring them to that state of blessedness that we ourselves are in Jesus Christ. Now we like to use the remaining moments that we have this day by speaking very practically to the way that fathers can grow in that pity for their children. First and foremost, I believe that the way for me, the way for you to grow in pity for our children is by staring at and meditating upon and standing in awe daily at Jehovah's pity for us. For the more we know God, the more we will have a reflection of God the Father in our lives, and that will be seen through and through by those around us, and I tell you, especially by our children who live close to us and are our closest neighbors. Imagine, as we have talked about in this series, if we take the time to love the stranger out there in the world, even take the time to love the brethren in the church, and then at home, we put it all aside and behave as foolish tyrants towards our own precious children. What a sad story. No, we must walk close to God in our private closets, in the consciousness of His love and of His forgiveness of our sins. I'm sure all fathers, I know this true for me, pangs of guilt filled our hearts when we hear a sermon like this, when we speak about this calling for fathers. Mothers too, but as the Word of God is addressing the fathers today, fathers, we must learn to pity our children as our Heavenly Father pities us. Sometimes, and sad to say it, I find that this is true of myself too in my busy labors and in my many things that I believe are important to do as a missionary. I look back and I find that I can spend hours talking to others who are in need, and then I do not even have a minute, 5 minutes, to sit down and to listen. And to carefully listen. To turn off everything else, whether it be the television or whether it be the newspapers or the email or whatever. And to simply sit down, put away all my other thoughts, and give the focus and attention to listen to my children. We must repent of that. I must repent of that before God and fear Him, so that then I can show that same pity as God shows to me, to my children. We must be brought again to our knees and give thanks to God that He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, that He listens to us, He cares for us. We must be able to say, God, I am but dust, yet I fear Thee, have mercy upon me. And then we will shed those tears, not in terror, but God in His mercy, you see, will work in us, so that we also will have loving discipline towards our children. And I challenge you, do that, because it will be seen through and through by our children. And may the day come where our children are able to say, you know what, Dad? I now know my Heavenly Father. I know He's a pitiful God. And that is because I see that in you, my Father, who has loved me and cared for me, cared enough to give me a patient ear to listen to me. And then, beloved, I submit to you that as we grow in that, we should also do one more thing, and that is that we must fill God's ears with the prayers that we bring to God for our children. Jehovah in pity hears our cries. We listen to our children, that's good, but let's take time then to bring and to fill our Heavenly Father's ears with the prayers we have for our children. Picture a pitiful man sitting down or kneeling down with his ears open to the cries of his child, asking his child questions to prod him along, listening to his or her woes and sorrows, and then turning around, praying to the Heavenly Father, calling upon Him, pleading for the children, asking that God, the Heavenly Father, would hear the prayers and the cries of His children. In pity, I say to you, daily, without fail, one by one, taking the time, we ought to bring the needs of our children to our Heavenly Father. Let us fill God's ears with prayers such as this. God, Thou hast been so pitiful to us. Look pitifully on these children. They are but dust. They are sinners just like us. They have so many pressures, so many temptations, challenges, and fears. Look on them in mercy. Forgive them and graciously bless them so that they might walk in Thy fear. I'd like to conclude today's message by pointing you to the truth of our text, which tells us at the end of that verse, as a father pitieth his children, So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The whole realm of pity does not mean that our children may grow up in a home where there is no fear of God. We must not allow, as I said in my introduction, that pity to become some kind of wishy-washy love, in the name of love, that is, that we will allow things to simply go without discipline. No, if we truly love our children, as we heard last time, we must chastise them. In fact, we will hear next time that we must restrain them and not be as Eli, who failed to restrain his children. No, there must be active, solid discipline in the home. There must be training. There must be guidelines. There must be rules. But I submit to you that all that guideline and all that discipline, whether it be spanking or grounding, and all that development that we would go along with our children and help them all through their years, even into their teenage years, even when they are young people, so long as they remain in our home, as we care for them and as we guide them, we must, beloved, always, always do so with a dose, with a double dose of pity. We must instruct them in the fear of God, and we must know that God, our Heavenly Father, is watching, and we must walk in God's fear. Having experienced the tender mercies of Jehovah, we must do the same, so that our homes are found to be filled with the compassion of Christ, so that our children may indeed know Father and Mother are touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In a way, we are there for them, to be their nurses, to be their doctors, I would even say to be their cheerleaders, so that we are prodding them on, so that they know they have an environment that with all of their weaknesses and sins, they have those guides, they have those fathers and mothers who truly love them. And as the Heavenly Father pities those who fear Him, so our children also will experience the tender mercies, the pity of their fathers and their mothers in the home, and thus then also walk in the fear of God, in that godly reverence that they must have for their parents. May God bless us and help us to be as those who pity our children. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on Thy Word, as we continue to grow in our understanding of the love for our children, may we behold Thee. May we see, O Lord, Thy grace and mercy and love for us in Jesus Christ. And may we grow in that image of our Father and of Jesus Christ, that thus our children too may experience the tender mercies of Jehovah through the pity of the fathers. Hear us, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.